Hi, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
Justin.
Hey guys, have you seen Caddyshack?
Of course, like a bunch of times.
I've heard of Caddyshack, but no, I haven't seen it.
Ooh, all right. So, what do you? It's a hole in one for Josh and a birdie for. I don't know the rules of golf at all. This might not even be a golf movie. We're giving things away before
No,
we even.
it's a golf movie.
I
I know
know.
it's a golf movie.
I would
Behind
say
the
that
curtain,
Josh not
we sh
seeing the movie is a double bogey in golf.
Ooh, you've played a round of putt-putt before, have you?
No, but I've played video game golf.
Oh, was it one of those dirty ones for the early PlayStation or like Dreamcast?
Sure.
No, do you remember those? The dirty golf games, like Outlaw Golf?
Oh no, it was not a dirty golf game.
Dirty Golf. They had like
No.
the jiggle physics imported from that fighting game. What is it, Josh?
Dead or alive?
Dead or alive? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I asked Josh 'cause he's into the fighting games.
Oh,
You
I
know
knew because I'm into
Justin
big
got it
ol'
right though.
boobies.
Dead or Alive has a movie that I could put on the list.
Yeah, you
Most fighting game
could.
series actually have a movie, surprisingly. Like, as much as Mortal Kombat.
I want to
Can we
say.
watch Street Fighter? Because I want to see that
I think
thriller
we've all
one.
seen Street Fighter,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
With Raul
We can
Julia.
find someone who hasn't.
If you get the Steelbook on Amazon, you get a bison dollar with the Steelbook.
Oh my
Ooh.
god. Amazing.
Comes with a bunch of fun extras.
I've been tracking my shipment. It looks like it'll get here on a Tuesday. So, what we do here at the show is if you haven't seen the movie, you get to describe it to us in a brief elevator pitch based solely on the title. I sent you the physical picture of this one behind the curtains. You get to see into our chat. I sent just I have this on physical copy, VHS. I have a copy of it on Betamax, I think.
Oh,
I
I
don't.
didn't look at it when you sent that image, thankfully.
Oh, okay, because that would have
Oh.
given some spoilers. What do you think it's going to be about, Josh?
I mean, it's a golf movie. It's called Caddyshack. It's about, I imagine, a caddy, golf caddy, the guy who carries clubs around for people. I have no idea who's in it. I have no idea what the plot is.
Are you aware of this in like cultural zeitgeist? Have you come across Caddyshack
Yeah,
references or anything that you know?
Caddyshack, is apparently a big comedy movie, so it was probably referenced in like cartoons when I was a kid or something. I heard it talked about a lot from friends, maybe.
There are a couple of returning stars in this that we've
I
had on the show
imagine.
before. Chevy
I bet I
Chase,
won't be able to know them.
a big one from Three Amigos.
Yep, he was Ty.
He will be in Caddyshack. He was not three. He was not Ty in Three Amigos.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
In
This is
Caddyshack.
our first Bill Murray movie, I believe, right, Justin?
Because we haven't seen
Josh?
Ghostbusters, right? Didn't we do the Christmas one?
Scrooged. We did one.
Scrooged?
Yep. You remember that, Josh? Scrooged?
No.
He's a corporate executive who's like a real son of a bitch, and on Christmas, three ghosts come and convince him to be better.
Isn't that just Christmas Carol? How is that different than Christmas Carol?
This is the only
It's like a
Christmas Carol
modern
one
day
we've done.
one.
Yeah, there's like a taxi driver, a fairy that beats him up, the
Okay.
specter of death, and it's really funny.
Bill
I
Murray.
yeah.
Nothing.
Okay. We
I know
definitely
he's
have
in
it.
Ghostbusters, though, so.
Yes, that. He is in Ghostbusters. Rodney
Indeed he was.
Dangerfield, he's first.
Also.
Ooh, Rodney Dangerfield, really?
Yeah.
Out of all I recognize people. That name.
All right, from what?
The cultural zeitgeist. He says no respects, right?
Yeah.
He
yells that at people. No respect!
He's very loud, right?
Yeah, he's very boisterous. He's like Sam Kinison, one of those screamy 80s comedians.
Oh man, maybe this movie is about a bunch of like dads that like end up in like a national golf tournament.
Ooh, something. Like the entry form gets misplaced with their local dad tournament, and suddenly they're playing with Jack Nicklaus and those other golfer, Arnold Palmer. I know him because he made a drink. He's a golfer.
Like a 12-year-old Tiger Woods.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Dad tournament. That's what we'll go for with Caddyshack. And then they like take turns. They all look alike. So there's only one of them playing, but they take turns hiding out at the Caddyshack. But each of them are playing like a fourth of the game.
Maybe. I'm not sure where the caddy comes into the story, but.
Have you seen any other movies about caddies? It's a subgenre.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
That's a hole we don't have to go down.
No.
So we've done Chevy Chase.
There's already Caddyshack 2, which I hope we don't watch.
Wow. You know, I haven't seen that.
I haven't either.
We almost have a whole list, right? Sandlot 2, Caddyshack 2. Just another two sports movie that you guys
and then, never made the big green. Two.
I can watch.
We'll do
Probably
a. We'll
don't
do a.
Dare. I don't want to watch Mighty Ducks 1 and 2. I know where you're going with this.
Oh yeah, Mighty.
No,
Ducks.
I've seen that one though. I was gonna say it has to be a movie that has a sequel that none of us have seen and we'll watch.
So I have to watch it twice.
You know, The Jerk has a sequel, a hidden sequel out there.
Oh really? I have
the
not
Jerk
seen
two.
That.
It's
Is it called The Jerks?
It's called The Jerk 2.
Okay.
And
same character?
They basically redo the entire plot in the first third of the movie, and then he goes to Vegas. It's not good. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's get to something that a lot of people think is good.
Frisbee golf?
Caddyshack.
Oh, what if it's a frisbee golf movie?
Ooh.
It's just at the park.
My cousin would be into it because he loves frisbee golf. He talks to me about it a lot.
And it's just a bunch of modern dads with their dogs and vape pens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If by dads you mean people with dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They all have custom bandanas and are not on leashes. Bags of something on their back.
They all have... two names.
Oh, ooh, three.
Like a middle
they
name.
Don't give you the third one. Yeah. They don't tell you that. That's for when it's in trouble. So mm-hmm. The dog knows it's in trouble.
Yeah.
Spike, Matthew, Jonathan, get over here. And then the dog knows to listen. His ears perk up. His tail goes between his legs. He's like, oh, shit, I fucked up. They used all three of my names. All right. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to Caddyshack from 1980 here on Have You Seen It? 4. Josh, are you feeling all right?
What?
Ain't nobody worrying about you. We're not trying to give you advice.
Oh, are you quitting the movie?
I'm going to just let you be. Yeah, we're not going to pressure you into liking this movie if you didn't like it. What did you think of Caddyshack?
I didn't like it.
You didn't?
No.
Why not?
Get off our course. You don't belong here.
Because Rodney Dangerfield's in it for like 20 minutes. Like, he's the only likable character in the movie.
Really?
In my opinion, yeah.
Oh, okay. No, no. I get it. Kat would argue with you. She had to leave the room every time Rodney Dangerfield was speaking. She's like, I can't watch that episode of The Simpsons that he's in.
He was the comedy equivalent of an air horn.
Exactly.
Like, I was nodding off about 30 and Rodney Dangerfield just walks the scene and just starts talking really loud and yucking it up.
And dressing like, real loud.
Yeah, I was going to say Airhorn visually stunning.
He dresses real loud, yeah. He's peacocking.
He's a loud character.
At one point, he was peacocking. Wearing lavender pants with like a canary yellow shirt and a jacket that was just like Technicolor Nightmare.
Yeah.
I gotta say, the cars were really cool in this movie. I know sure. A lot of them were real gaudy, like fuck the Rolls Royces and stuff, but that yellow Mercedes she rolls up with, that's pretty cool. All right, so
there are a couple of lines in the beginning that I noted.
This, right off the bat, this movie doesn't age well, and it's rather hard to get through like the first third of it because of
that.
After that, it loosens up. It relaxes. It's not as hard to watch, I think. I don't know.
Once it focuses on the golf and stuff.
Once it starts turning into a sketch comedy show with just different vignettes of shit happening, then it's kind of okay.
Yeah, sure.
But kind of okay is a fair assessment.
Yeah, we mentioned... I think, Josh, you mentioned it's considered a classic in a lot of people.
I think so. Like, I recognized it, which is usually a sign that it's, like, some kind of classic, right?
It is considered a classic. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, like, you know, like Porky's is also considered a classic. Or Revenge of the Nerds.
Porky's
There's a lot of crude humor in all those movies, right?
I went back and I did a rewatch of the Porky's series over lockdown. I couldn't get very far. I couldn't get through the third one.
Yeah.
But
that's pretty far.
Porky's 1. There's really offensive shit in it. Like, obviously. It's problematic. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the people doing that problematic shit are punished in the movie. And I was watching it and I was like, I don't know if I was going crazy or what. I might have talked about this before on the stream. It felt like Porky's was kind of more woke than a lot of movies I've been watching nowadays that just portray like just terrible shit by the protagonist and the villain and nobody gets their comeuppance.
Right.
It was blowing just like my that. Mind.
Just like fucking Best of the Best we just did. That's another thing that made me angry at that movie, was that dude just being trash and nobody calling him out on it the entire time.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, not even old movies, but contemporary movies, too. It's just like, oh, he's part of the team. It's okay. Yeah, Best of the Best movie he did a couple weeks ago with a guest, David. Had a real fun time. Another sport that Josh doesn't care anything about, and I don't blame him, golf.
Nobody here cares about golf, right?
At least I understand like how golf works. I didn't understand martial arts works. Like, okay. I could follow the golf parts. Few golf parts of this movie
now,
I could follow.
Please don't hold martial arts to the Best of the Best standards, because out of the four of us, and we've all had various degrees of martial arts training and watching a bunch of movies, the rules in that were fucking confusing.
They made no sense.
Best of the Best made no sense in what they counted points, how they did anything. So
made no sense.
Nope.
What registered it as a hit and what didn't register as a hit?
Yeah. That was a
couple
weeks
ago,
though. You can tell when you hit a ball. Good point, Josh.
And when it goes in a hole.
That's the two things you want to happen. I know there's some bad things, like forest is bad, water is bad, and sand is bad.
Yep.
Try to get it in the hole as least hits as possible.
My only experience is miniature golf.
Sure.
Miniature golf is a lot of fun, I think. Because
I've liked miniature golf.
It's like a live action video game. It's like Yoshi's Island, or even, I don't know, there are fucking miniature golf games on Steam nowadays that you can buy and play.
Really
fun that there's so much scenery designed around it, and
sure.
Like, tricky shots that you have to think out and like make bouncing shots off of. I was never very good at it, but it's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, mini golf is fun. Have you done mini golf, Josh?
Some places have really elaborate courses.
Probably mini golf when I was younger, but nothing in recent memory.
Yeah.
I have played a round of frisbee golf.
I have too.
You know the Roosevelt Park here that's really hilly?
Mm-hmm.
I went one day with former guest and friend Zach. He was on the Emoji Movie episode. We went and played some frisbee golf, and the weather, oh my god, it was just like the scene in this where Bill Murray, the groundskeeper, is caddying for the priest, the father, and like the weather's just turning. We got out there and people were leaving and we're like, yes, the whole group's leaving. We're going to have the whole place to ourselves, because I'd never played. I was like, but I get the rules. I throw the frisbee and the less number of throws I get, the better. But we were just playing for fun anyway. We didn't keep score. And the weather, like the sky started turning darker and the wind picked up and the sky started turning like an olive green, and it wasn't raining. It was just kind of like spookily, like eerily chilly at that point and still. And we were like, all right, let's keep playing. And then like lightning started to crack in the distance and we were like, okay, maybe we should get out of here.
At least that makes more sense than doing it with golf where you're literally swinging metal clubs in the air.
Yeah. You're just asking for trouble. I wonder.
Frisbees are plastic. That's good.
There's probably a good number of people who have died on, like, greens at a country club.
Yeah. And I know I joked about this before, but let's not kid ourselves. I was kind of a little rich boy. I have played a round of actual golf.
Whoa. With a golf cart and everything?
I've done it both. With a golf cart and without a golf cart.
Expensive. You have... Not only because of the equipment you have to own, like the right shoes, the right clubs, the fashion if you want to get into that, but sure. I'm sure the greens fees is where they really get you.
Yeah. My dad used to own a golf cart.
Ooh. I hear Harley Davidson makes them for the, like, the...
Though I think it was... Dad. I think it was left to him by his dad. I don't think he bought it.
Ah. A hand-me-down.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. Do you have to bring those with you, or can you park them at the... I guess if you're a member, maybe they have golf cart parking.
Like, we used it before. Garages. Yeah. It's kind of like going to a bowling alley when you have your own bowling balls.
The one thing that would turn me off, other than the exorbitant price and the like inherent classism of country clubs and all that, we'll get into. This movie covers that aspect.
Waste of water.
Not even that.
Okay.
That's a big one. That's a really big one.
The waste of real estate.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I mean, these are all valid points. Don't get me wrong. These are things I consider when I don't play. But in that mix, you got to get up real early. It's one of those morning sports.
It kind of. You don't have to, though. You can play like
they were
midday,
playing
late golf.
I guess. Yeah. My only experience with golf and this movie came from my uncle's and aunt's house. They were members of a country club. It was kind of like growing up, they lived in a little time bubble. They, like I said, members of a country club, had a bar in their basement, very retro vibes, and they would get up at the crack of dawn and go golfing. And the only time I ever saw the course that they were like members of was when my cousin, their daughter, got married. And it was like this. It was like big rolling green hills.
We were never a part of any club, but we went to like the public courses.
Nice. Yeah.
My dad still plays golf every now and then, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I never got into it. And watching it is the most boring thing on the planet.
This same uncle that played, he loved Caddyshack, so that's why I saw this at a pretty young age, and he loved watching golf. And it was nap time when golf hits the TV, because, my goodness, could you imagine something, a sport, more boring? At least NASCAR is loud.
That's what I was going to say, too. Wow, my comparison was going to be like, I thought NASCAR was boring, but Jesus, watching golf.
Yeah, you posted your movie notes in a public forum. And I'm reading.
You're taking all my jokes.
Josh, what do you think of golf in general?
It seems like it's hard to play properly. You know, I guess I respect people that are good at it. But yeah, I don't give a shit about watching golf.
Oh, I couldn't watch it, but I think it could be kind of fun to play. Like the thwack in it with the
sure.
club,
yeah, it might be fun to like it. Play around a golf before I die once.
It feels really good when you get that little ball in that tiny little hole.
Sure. Yeah, when you think about it, it's probably pretty tough.
And also, most of the time you do it on a nice day in a beautiful landscape that's a total waste of water and resources.
Well, now they have those double-decker places where you go and you just thwack it into like half of a rounded football stadium.
Now, we just need to do what Bill Murray's character did in this movie and make weed grass.
Oh, I thought you were going to say beat the crap out of these puffy flowers.
No, you remember how he's like, I have my own hybrid grass that you can play golf on and then get high on.
Josh, do you remember this scene when Chevy Chase and Bill Murray wind up in his like shitty little shack?
Yeah, I do. It was long and unfunny.
Didn't find it amusing in any sense?
Not really. I honestly couldn't even tell if the scene was supposed to be funny. Like, most of the movie, it's like, yes, this is intended to be entertaining, but I'm not laughing. But that scene, it's like, are they trying to establish character for golf and because he hasn't been on screen most of the time? Like, is this characterization for the groundskeeper, who I don't give two shits about, and is, like, we don't need background because all he's trying to do is kill a gopher? Or, like, confusing scene.
This is
very
not talked about scene.
Did not know why it took so long.
A very cute puppet gopher.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But
very
talked about scene because these two comedians were in Saturday Night Live together. They had a history on SNL. They had a feud. They did not care for each other. And so the director had to get them both in the same room. This is widely regarded as the funniest scene in the movie, Josh.
Why?
Two masters of comedy coming together and basically doing nothing. I don't know. I have no answers for you.
Yeah, is there some like nuance that this is it just because of the background of the scene that
I
makes
did
it fun?
It was pretty.
I found it funny when he was smoking that obscenely large joint. That's far too big. That's far larger than a joint is usually.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't find
that
funny.
And then he was like, oh, chase it with this. It's this terrible, like, bottom shelf liquor or wine. Who knows what it is? Some sort of hooch. And then he's like, oh, that's terrible. So he hands him back the joint. And he's like, oh, this will help. Trace it with this. And it keeps going back and forth. I found that pretty funny.
Yeah, I found that scene amusing.
But just also, like, the filth he lives in, the conversation that they're trying
living
to
have. In a garage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he basically lives in a garage.
Bill Murray's stumbling to, like, make Chevy Chase stay, and Chevy Chase is just like, no, I don't want to stick to anything. But they're both fucking slobs, because we've seen Chevy Chase's place, and even though he's loaded and for some reason is, like, in a deep depression and doesn't cash $70,000 checks that are lying around.
Jesus Christ.
Also has open pizza boxes, just like Bill Murray, and, like, open bubbly water, and, like, oh, I hate this scene. I hate it when she comes over and he recycles the bubble water into one and gives it to her. It's so nasty.
So, there's a couple lines in the beginning of this movie. So, Ted Knight playing Judge Smales.
Yeah, we need to talk more about who's in this, because it is a plethora of comedy actors. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. He is arguing with his son, Spencer, I think.
Now, I believe this is the younger brother of the girl, so it's his nephew. The niece and nephew come to stay for the summer.
Yeah, and he's like, you're going to play golf tonight. He's like, no, I was going to play tennis. He's like, you're playing golf. And he says, but what about my asthma? And I'm just like, how the fuck is tennis better for asthma than golf?
I think he's looking for excuses.
I know.
And just to say, the nephew here has some of my favorite lines in the movie. Double turds. When he's missing the swing. When they walk up to the concession stand. Oh my god. And he's like, I want a cheeseburger, and I want a hot dog, and I want french fries, and I want a hamburger, and I want a cotton candy. I just love that.
Balding is his son's name, not Spencer.
This is the movie that has the You'll Get Nothing and Like It line, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I got that line.
That's referenced all the time. That's Judge Spalding.
I delivered by Ted Knight, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who did great as the villain.
Oh, yeah.
He's great at these kind of, like, uppity, like, aristocratic, just getting his...
The whitest white.
Cereal peed on kind of guy.
White hair. And so this movie is about a country club and the people who both play golf at it and work at it. And I like that about it. We do see... like the working class kids trying to make it by the lower class, like dude who runs that, who's actually Bill Murray's brother, all the way up to like the tippy top, the richest fucking judge on the planet, Rodney Dangerfield, who's like Willy Wonka of real estate and golf in this movie.
No, I think he's the guy who turns things into parking lots.
That's what I meant by Willy Wonka of real estate and not chocolate. Come to my factory. Look at all this space. It's parking space, and I'm going to move it to your town and charge for it. An everlasting gob meter.
Imagine Rodney Dangerfield as Willy Wonka.
Oh, don't tease me.
Oh, God.
I want it, yeah. I'm not going to... do the voice. These kids are giving me no respect.
It's like the original movie, but he just straight up insults the kids constantly. He's not subtle about it at all.
Oh, look yeah. At this one. And he just makes like he could chug a pipe in a river full of chocolate.
He makes even more inappropriate remarks towards Oompa Loompas, like derogatory things.
So we have the judge, we have Rodney Dangerfield, we have the main caddy that we're going to be focusing on throughout the movie.
Danny.
And he works with a whole crew. There's this one like really smooth greaser kid who's always smoking cigarettes and no sleeves on. Seems to be his rival in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And
I know names.
Oh, wow. Wow. You have
good, because I didn't catch any yeah. names in this entire no. movie.
They say them a lot.
They do.
And who's his girlfriend? The Irish exchange student?
Maggie.
Oh, 3 for 3.
Maggie O'Hooligan.
Yup.
Who was slipping in and out of that Irish accent.
She's an exchange student. She's trying to learn how Americans speak. So she's like, she's doing an American accent some of the time uh-huh. and letting her uh-huh. Irish accent slip through the rest of the time.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, I really liked whenever that dude was shining the judge's shoes and he heard him make the joke about the.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, fuck you, and fucked up his shoes. I was like, yeah!
Just sparks.
Fuck that guy's shoe.
He insulted the priest and that dude in the same line.
Yeah. And then Rodney Dangerfield shows up, and he's got, like, all this crazy technology to his system.
How do you like
that? Like a scope on his putter.
So the smallest caddy tries to lift up his, what do you call
these
eggs? Golf eggs?
I
think they're called
sure.
caddies, actually.
No, that's the people.
The guy is a caddy.
No, I think that's it's also the people.
That's
I don't think so.
That would be confusing on the course.
I don't think
caddy,
so.
A small storage container, typically one with divisions.
Yeah, I
wow.
know that's a caddy.
So
no.
I guess it's a word for the bag and the person who
no,
carries
no, no.
the bag.
Wow!
That's a different type of bag.
That sucks. Can you imagine if, like...
You're literally an object.
Right? Like, you're literally...
I believe that's just the name for a type of Zing. Bag.
Yeah,
golf,
sure.
I'm pretty sure they're just called golf bags. Because when I look up caddies, it's more of like those fishing tackle boxes with like divisions in them.
But these bags have divisions in them for the different clubs.
Technically, yes. I'll give you that.
And it's also for really rich, snotty white people who would definitely just refer to the people carrying their object as the object they're carrying.
No, I get you. And I agree. It makes sense on logic. I just don't see it crossing over when I do a search. I don't see any of these golf bags being called golf caddies.
Sure.
But you may be wrong. None of us know.
Your definition may vary.
There is a golf bag caddy, which is like a little dolly you use when you're moving furniture that assists the caddy when he's pulling the golf bag.
Because it's a caddy shack, right? It's not a shack. Like, are they? There's not living quarters for the caddies.
Well, it's where they hang out during the day. It's where they come back to and get their pay for each
round. Man, it's where they store those fucking bags.
Yeah.
People, you don't store the bags there. Are you nuts? With those golf clubs, you put those in the trunk of your car as soon as you leave.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
No, you don't leave your clubs at the Caddy Shack.
Okay. So the Caddy Shack is the break room.
Yes, there you go. That's why they sell Cokes for 50 cents overpriced.
Sure. But anyway, so Roddy Dangerfield starts blaring music out of his
app. He's got a TV, an amazing sound system. Yeah,
he got like propulsion for all of his clubs. So
this is another one of my favorite Ted Knight lines. That music is a violation of our personal privacy.
He's breaking the law. I'm very interested in the law. Oh, what parts? Well, noise statutes. This kid Danny is such a fucking suck up in the first half of this movie to the judge.
Yeah,
it's really hard. Because he wants
that scholarship, man.
It's really cringy.
Because didn't you hear? It's $8,000 a semester for college, Austin.
I know we're like 20 minutes in. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Oh, gotta grind, gotta work so hard. Okay, before we get too far in, I just want to talk on the opening of this movie. What the fuck is up with this McAllister house? Why are there 20 kids in it?
His brothers and sisters?
There are so many kids, and they never address that.
Yeah, is that supposed to, like, they're Mormons. To frame the character for something?
It makes like, no sense.
It doesn't matter, right?
But
yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
I guess he's from, we have to establish, he's from a hard knock life.
Yeah, it's just to establish that he's not, well, I mean, they have a huge house, though.
The only reason his parents aren't able to afford him going to college is because they have 23 other children.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many kids. She goes around the house knocking on doors, and there's like 3 little kids in one room, 5 little kids in the next, 3 teenagers, him off to college, and it's like, and one of them is there, and it's the cousin. It's a very, very Home Alone beginning of the movie scenario.
It is. Yeah, it is.
They don't explain it as like, oh, they're here for the summer. They're visiting. There's no other adults. There's just a house full of children, which I see now why he got a summer job that's quiet, where he can just take old people's bags and carry them on the grass. And probably get paid a lot of money to do it. But he does have this dream of college. His dad is pushing him into it. Did they talk about wanting to go to law school? Or does he only kind of come across that when he meets the judge?
No, I think he says that in the beginning, that he did want to go to law school.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Josh, what'd you say?
I thought it was just him sucking up, but maybe...
Whatever he was talking with his parents, though, so it could have still just been, like, you know, trying to appease them.
I feel like they mentioned college, but not, like, law school. That's pretty advanced. I'm kind of on Josh's side. I think it's just him sucking up to the judge. And it's bad. He goes to the...
Oh, wait, no, what's the thing that he says about the college he's going to his mom? He's like, oh, I thought about going to that college, but my friend who went there says that there's only 2 girls and they were both nuns.
Aha! And his dad stands up. I got you now. This regalia where he dresses up as a fucking sea captain and everybody else is just kind of in casual attire, makes an ass of himself. But,
Yeah. You
yep.
ever done that? Overdressed?
No. And I'm wondering where he got it from. Did he like rob the boathouse here?
Yeah, he went to the lost and found.
'Cause who has a whole captain's regalia on a caddy's fucking income?
Who doesn't have to pay rent.
There is an older priest we mentioned during the thunderstorm scene. He gets struck by lightning. There's a surgeon who has one of like the first beepers ever made on hand, and it's constantly going off as a gag, and he's like, "Oh, we better
It
make this
electrocutes
quick."
him at one point.
Because he was in the water. Yeah. Better make this quick. She's having a heart attack. Oh, she's in a coma. We'll just put her on a ventilator and I'll be there in 4 to 5 hours. Let's tee off.
It's probably just a run-of-the-mill emergency.
Yeah. Love some of these one-liners from him. The controversy so shows up pretty immediately between Rodney Dangerfield and the judge. And the caddies are kind of drawn into it because they have to caddy for everybody and listen to their bullshit. Except for Chevy Chase, he's an asshole in this, but he's not like an overt loudmouth asshole like he usually is. He's a zen asshole.
He's way more laid back than he normally is.
Have you watched the movie that's the story behind Mad Magazine or
No.
National Lampoon's?
No.
No.
It came out a couple of years ago and it's completely acted by comedians and it's really funny. It's kind of dark, obviously. Those were dark times. But Joel McHale from Community plays Chevy Chase, and there's like a big scene all about the filming of Caddyshack, and it goes into the history and how hard it was to make because none of them had ever made a movie before, and they were literally partying every night, not sleeping, and just using cocaine on set to get them through the days. And
You could kind of tell.
but
I'm not gonna lie.
kudos to Chevy Chase for keeping it so zen with all that. It's cocaine. No, he's bouncing off the walls just like everybody else, but he's doing it in the morning. He's the one waking up really early to go golfing. And
Fishing is the really early morning activity.
yeah, because fish don't come out in the other times of day.
Yeah. They're only there
Yeah.
right before
They only
sunrise.
want to eat at that time. Then they're like, no, I'm not eating that bug. It's 2 in the afternoon. I don't want it. Lies. I've gone fishing every time of day. The ocean had no. I mean, listen, it's true. There are certain types of fish you can only catch at certain times of day because they are more active, blah blah blah. If you just want to go fishing though, you can do it any time of day.
It's more big morning propaganda.
Fishing might be more boring to watch than golf. 'Cause you're not doing anything until you're catching a fish, right?
I mean, watching fishing and
That's what I
fishing
mean.
is really not that different.
You're right. Except one, you pull something slimy out of the water, and two, you just watch somebody pull something slimy out of the water.
Think that's kind of better.
Depends on if you like fish, I guess. And they really like fish. The people who
Do
catch
you like
fish.
slime?
I watched a compilation of people who like professionally catch fish on those shows. They always throw them back. They don't get to eat them like we do when we catch fish. But they kiss them every time. Like
Get a little bit of fish oil on their lips.
every time. They're for good luck. They're like, "I heard one of you was the magic fish. I'm gonna try and catch it. And I heard if you give
They're
me
trying to
this,
find out
gives
which
you
of
the
them
three
is the
wishes."
cursed prince.
Yeah. That's why they kiss every fish they catch. That's why they became professional fishermen. So it makes it a little more interesting because one day you're going to be sitting there watching fish at like getting your oil changed at Jiffy Lube or some shit. And the guy's going to kiss the fish just gonna like pop and turn into like a mini you prince.
Into
Yeah. Oh my God. You have to throw him back by
man.
the rules. It's one of the craziest things to ever happen in live competition of sports in the world. And it happens in the most boring sport ever.
Nobody watched it.
But then that would change fishing. For a month, everybody would be watching fishing because that clip would go around on the internet. People would be like, what is this? Imagine if that happened in any other sport. Become the most popular sport in the world. So, Caddyshack. Bet the baseball wizard plays golf on his weekends.
The genie.
Yeah.
Baseball genie.
Sorry. Baseball. Oh, can't get it wrong or he might come.
Yeah, you're going to upset our fan.
So, rivalry starts, and it only escalates at this regalia when... This is kind of one of the better scenes, I think, because it's physical comedy. It's a lot of set pieces. Rodney Dangerfield has the sea meat, or seafood, and it's a gigantic billionaire yacht, and he's, like, whipping it around in this tiny little lake, it seems like. And just destroying littler boats. There's like stuntmen from James Bond with helmets on. There's jet skiers. There's people being pulled behind water skiing. And
Rodney Dangerfield's character makes me think what it would kind of be like to be around Trump. Because he's just like really crass and loud and throwing his money around.
And never takes responsibility, is always insulting people. Sure, I definitely see the similarities. One professional comedian.
You know, one president of the United States.
Game show host. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. You stay in your lane of comedian. Nobody's gonna hate you. Like, a few people might hate you, but not vehemently. They're just gonna be like, oh, I'm turning this comedy special off.
Right. Or they have to walk out of the room every time they're on screen.
So, yeah, Rodney Dangerfield almost kills the judge here, and we think he's going to ram into his tiny little fucking... What is this boat? I thought the judge was also rich. I know he's not mega rich, but this isn't a nice boat. Don't get me wrong. I would never afford this boat. I would love
this
to.
This looked like an away vessel for Rodney Dangerfield's boat.
Oh, yeah. Send the red shirt crew on that island and see if there's any dinosaurs. Sure. Ooh. Rodney Dangerfield is the captain of a spaceship.
Rodney Dangerfield might have been in Star Trek.
I looked through his IMDb before we started, and sadly, I didn't see that. He wouldn't have even had to play an alien.
He would have been a Q.
Yeah, he definitely could have been a Q. He could have been a hologram protocol where they just go to stand-up. Remember they did that when they
yes!
had guest stars
oh,
sometimes?
Man. For sure.
They'd be like, we have this guest star, and they don't want to wear a ridiculous spacesuit, and they don't want to put on makeup, and they don't want to be killed. Let's just have them in the holodeck doing their thing.
Absolutely. That's where it would have been.
That's where Dangerfield would have been, 100%. Yeah. Riker, did you enable the cocaine protocol?
Oh, he's going to come back, guys. We're going to see Rodney Dangerfield soon.
Why?
We'll see him in hell.
The fuck are you
talking
about?
Because he's in Little Nicky.
Oh, no.
That's a long ways away, friend.
Yeah, I think you underestimated how long it's going to take to get through the Sandler verse.
I did not.
Did
but I'm in it for
out?
The long haul.
We're all going to catch the gabadagoos by the time it's done. Oh, my God. All right. That just makes me... That bolsters my idea that this is a good comedy. Because as, like, silly as Bill Murray was being in this, it never got to Sandler absurdity. He was
right.
A creep. Like, he was creepy as fuck. We had the guy who was the actual groundskeeper Willie. He had his kilt and bagpipes out there before he went on to The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, because Bill Murray's just the assistant.
He has a 6-year plan, though, to work his way. See, that scene is funny, Josh.
It is. It is. That scene is funny.
I've been doing a lot of research. I have a 6-year plan to make groundskeeper. And somehow he's like a biotech engineer, and he's mixed Kentucky bluegrass, something from...
With weed.
Something else, and California sensimilia, which is cannabis. Yeah. And I don't know.
Do it. That would give some use to those fucking things.
Because you gotta clip that grass anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Sell it. But I don't know.
You'd even make more money, and they love to make more money.
There's that one scene in the beginning where Danny and Chevy Chase are going out early to play a game. Well, Chevy Chase is playing a game, and Danny's carrying his crap. And Chevy Chase is like, "What's bothering you, Danny? You do drugs?" Danny's just like, "Yeah, every day." Good. Then what's bothering you?
Yeah, that was a good line too.
We've got a couple of scenes featuring the niece of the judge. First, she shows up to Chevy Chase's house, and she met him at the dinner. Sorry, I didn't mention that. We didn't talk about the dinner at all. Rodney Dangerfield.
The dinner where Dangerfield makes like 6 jokes about old people being zombies in like the span of 20 seconds.
That's what Rodney Dangerfield does.
He works.
Is that his thing?
His whole thing is how many jokes can he fit in for a minute, and they're all insults.
But also, did you see he had like a cadre of 30-something people following him around this place?
Yeah, because he's mega rich.
Sure. Yeah, he was literally throwing money around in that scene.
Oh, so it's not because he's funny and they're like, oh, he's putting on a show for us?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, people liked Rodney Dangerfield, so...
They did. But Danny is working at this also. All our characters kind of intersect here. Bill Murray not. But Danny's working... Molly, is that her name, you say?
Maggie.
Maggie, sorry. Maggie's working here in the kitchen, and Rodney Dangerfield, he's kind of a creep at this point. He's like, tell the chef I've had better dog food or something, food at a racetrack or some bullshit.
Yeah, and he asks the niece of males if she lives alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll leave you to try to guess what the joke on that was.
I have no idea. But her and Chevy Chase hook up at this point. They go back to his place, and we see he's a complete slob.
It's Lacey, played by Cindy Morgan. Who's also in Tron, which we haven't done.
We haven't done Tron.
The new one or the old
one? The old one. And she was in Galaxus and Chips.
Okay. Some sci-fi stuff.
She's been in quite a bit of stuff.
Nice. But we see Chevy Chase is living in squalor as well. He's got the open pizza boxes everywhere. He's kind of got the Mall Ninja stuff with just these blades on the wall with no sheaths on them. A bunch of... I don't know. He talks about going to Vietnam. It seems that's the decor of his house. And she asks if he was in the war. And he does this shtick where he like affects the limp and is like, no. Just, don't know. Maybe he was there visiting. Or for work.
Maybe. Maybe that's why he's depressed, because he has PTSD.
He owns 2 lumber mills. He's like a billionaire. We don't know what else he does. He's just kind of an oddball character in this, who gives Danny some wisdom, but in the end crumples under pressure when it comes down to it. It's real strange.
Yeah. Because he throws the game. Like, he tries to throw the game, right?
I couldn't tell. Is it because...
he was supposed to be really good, and then he kind of sucked.
We'll talk about that when... Yeah, we're almost there. At this point, the movie kind of turns into a number of skits. Since we've established the characters, we bounce around a ton at this point.
It has the energy of like a ski movie where they have to save the lodge.
Yes, because the real estate mogul, Rodney Dangerfield... wants to buy it up and turn it into like a mini mall and condominiums, and the judge...
No, except it's the opposite, because everybody likes Rodney Dangerfield, right?
Oh, what's
and they're like cheering him on that he won a bunch of money.
what's the judge got to do? He's just evil, so he has to leave.
Yeah, he's just evil.
Okay.
he'll eventually realize that he'll make money, and that's how they lost the war on drugs, is that they found out that drugs make money.
Yes. Oh, you think Bill Murray's gonna get around to that? He's gonna blow himself up before that happens.
Oh, yeah, no.
Josh,
Bill Murray's
could you
not.
Please tell us about this subplot of the Gopher
B-plot?
And Bill Murray?
Oh, God, it was so annoying.
Run it down. What happens?
There's a gopher, one gopher who looks really awkward and takes me out of the movie every time it's on screen, that's digging up the golf course, and it's up to Bill Murray to get rid of the one gopher. And he ends up resorting to explosives by the end
of
the
movie. What are some of the things he does before then, though?
He tries to, like, get him out with water and ends up, you know, shooting water out all over the course.
I dig that scene.
I don't remember what else he did. I remember the water and the explosives.
He tried to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right.
And
almost killed Chevy Chase and Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
Ty and Lacey.
And Lacey.
Yeah, and then he makes these little critters out of plastic explosive in a last-ditch effort to rid the varmints. So this was a plot tacked onto the movie. Writer-director
not surprised.
Just absolutely hated it. They were like, they fought...
Harold Ramis?
No, writer-producer, sorry, Douglas Kenny.
Oh, okay.
Fought tooth and nail to keep this out of the movie. He was like, this cheapens the comedy. And it also is weird. Did either of you watch it in high def tonight on HBO Max or anywhere
else? I did.
Did you notice that the tunnel scenes look way better than the rest of the movie?
Yeah, because it's got redone.
No, not even that. They were filmed on a soundstage, so they had better film stock than the entire rest of the movie.
Oh.
They're filmed in higher quality. It was really sad too, because the Douglas Kenny, right after this was released, died he fell off a cliff in Hawaii and was just like, fuck that movie. Hate that little hamster.
Old puppet.
Yep. You're right. It takes you out of the movie. Cause you're like, why is there a live Muppet in this movie?
It starts with it too. It's got this big green open where it shows like a weird,
it starts and ends with it dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The movie opens and ends with this puppet dancing.
I feel like Bill Murray would have been fine. They could have found plenty for him to do without this. If they had gone so far where it was like a cartoon hamster, it would have brought me back around. If he was like, he'd huffed so much insecticide, he was totally imagining
okay.
And it was,
you're like, talking shit him. About Adam Sandler, and you're exactly describing one of his jokes.
What?
Billy Madison.
I'm sure.
Whenever
Adam Sandler can rip off one of my jokes and make it unfunny really easily.
Oh,
so
yeah, he ripped off. He ripped off your joke.
Don't
now.
Don't even worry about it. He was like, yeah, I can take that joke and make it unfunny. I went there.
Dead.
Oh, okay. Another thing about the hamster or the groundhog, Josh, you'll love this. It was voiced.
It's a gopher, right?
It was voiced.
Yeah, right.
By a dolphin.
Okay.
Oh, I was gonna guess. Damn it! I can't think of
Frank
his name.
Welker.
Frank Welker. Yes.
No, but isn't it easier to get Frank Welker than a dolphin?
And maybe they had like stock noises on file or something.
Dolphins
in the '80s, probably.
Since when are dolphins coming in and doing voice acting?
They're really hard to accommodate in the studio.
And this dolphin was the same dolphin that then went on to voice Flipper. No, this is way after Flipper. These are the same sound effects used in the show Flipper from 1964.
Okay. But he did voice the Joker in Batman the Animated Series.
Gee willikers, Batman, I don't know if we can stop him. Oh, and it's just a dolphin painted white with a green wig on. Eventually, they're taking the Joker in so many weird directions. Eventually, there's going to be a comic where it's a dolphin. Why not? He came from the sea.
Oh, this movie.
So, we have Danny trying to get the scholarship, but then he sees that the judge is kind of a shithead, hooks up with the niece.
He says it sucks!
Oh, this prestigious club won't take that kind of language. Yeah, really good bad acting on the part of the judge. bad guy acting, I should say. It all comes down to the final tournament, an illegal golf game at the country club.
Yeah. And wasn't there a tournament for the caddies?
Okay, so we have some caddy days to talk about quick. There was the caddy swim day. It's 15 minutes. I thought that was
the turd in the pool.
The classic. Yeah. It's been referenced on everything up until recently, like Bob's
Burgers. But it wasn't really a turd.
Nope. Baby Ruth. I remember this being joked about all the time at summer camp because there would be like pools and they would sell candy there right in the canteen.
Absolutely.
So it's this... like, oh, don't throw it in the pool.
And lots of people did.
And then there was the caddy tournament, which, did you see the prizes for that?
No.
So they show them right before the tournament. First prize, a set of golf balls.
Oh.
Second prize, like, they're real shitty prizes. It just gets worse from there.
I see. Here's some used tees.
Here's some gum we found stuck to the golf club.
here's the water from the golf ball cleaners.
Oh, here's a name tag that just reads caddy. yeah, Danny wins that. So, when it comes down
to... This is to establish... This is foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Josh, this is foreshadowing. To establish that Danny's good at golf, so that he can...
Yeah, so he can...
Be triumphant later on.
Right. Even though him winning had nothing to do with him good at golf.
No.
Right, it had to do with an explosion.
Yeah.
Deus Ex plastic explosive.
Yeah.
So it finally bubbles over, and there's like a confrontation between Rodney Dangerfield and the judge, and Ty's like, "All right, let's be civil about this. Come into my office, and I'll make drinks, and we'll negotiate this." And what it comes down to is a bet being made on a game, and it's the judge versus Rodney Dangerfield. Originally just them, but then they double the amount and add two other players. Dangerfield chooses Ty. And the judge chooses the doctor with the beaver. Yeah. It happens the next morning. They all go out there. And I think...
By the way, he's credited as Dr. Beeper.
Dr. Beeper. Nice. I think what happens... We mentioned this early in the episode. I think Chevy Chase doesn't throw it. I think he gets injured when he slams his hand in the car door.
Oh yes, he does injure his hand in the car. You're right. That's what happens.
So he can't play correctly. He's a Zen master, but it's not working. He has broken his hand. Danny has to come in and fill in for him. All the caddies get news of this. A bunch of people get news. A huge crowd gathers around him.
No, he doesn't replace Chevy Chase.
He replaces Rodney Dangerfield.
He replaces Rodney Dangerfield.
Chevy Chase, yeah.
Because Rodney Dangerfield gets hit with a golf ball by his own hit because he sucks at golf.
He's even worse than an injured Chevy Chase. You're right.
Yeah, and he pretends like he broke his arm. And then even Dr. Beeper, who's apparently a terrible doctor, was like, "Oh, I guess he did break his arm."
Yep, that looks like what happened there. So, then, yeah, Danny wins by no miracle act or any. No.
He's it's, just better.
Stories converge. Bill Murray, as the groundskeeper, has planted little animal plastic explosives wired all together throughout all 18 holes, it appears. And these are some pretty impressive explosions when these go off. Like, these are actual explosions to
practical
scale.
Practical effects.
To scale, though, too, not even miniatures. They didn't want to blow up the golf course this was filmed on, obviously. So they had to construct a hill.
Should have.
Cover it. No, they did. They built one. They constructed a hill, covered it with grass. They didn't, like, have to maintain it because it was just for one shoot. But, like, angled it just right so it looked like it was overlooking the entire golf course. And then, boom, blew it up and filmed it from different angles. Like, I really like the final, the climax. Because shit's just going haywire. The judge is freaking out. He must own this country club along with Ty. Like, there's some history between them, it seems like. Or they're, like, established members. I don't know.
Judge seemed like he had, like, heavy investment and power within your club.
Because when he gets angry and throws the golf club, it seems like for a second they're like, you're out of here. You're kicked out.
Almost, yeah.
This rumbling, this explosion causes Danny's ball to fall in the hole. They win the bet. Rodney Dangerfield gets more money than he already had.
Like $80,000 or something.
He makes it worth Danny's while, he says, so probably gives him a solid chunk of money to go to college with, maybe.
$5,000.
Full $8,000 he needs for a semester.
Yeah.
Why don't you just work for the summer?
Another one of my favorite Ted Knight lines as Judge Smiles is whenever Danny betrays him and decides he's going to play, and he just, like, mocks what he says back at him. He's like, I guess you don't.
The judge had some other good lines. Another one is in the very beginning when Danny's first caddying for him, and he's like, well, I'd like to go to law school, but my parents can't afford it. Well, the world always needs ditch diggers, and then he just walks away.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal. So, Josh, you haven't seen this before. Your first time viewing. Would you recommend it?
No. I would be fine if someone told me enjoyed it. Like, I wouldn't, like, be upset at them for. Yes, you know, Rod Dangerfield is a diamond in the rough in this movie and was the only thing keeping my eyes on the screen, pretty much. But, yeah, it's a comedy movie. I don't like comedies. None of it was funny, right? Pool scene wasn't funny. Go for B plot wasn't funny. You know, there's a lot of characters that are following around. I just didn't. It wasn't a birdie for throwing out golf terms.
A hole in one?
It wasn't a hole
no
in
eagles
one.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just wasn't there for me.
It was whenever they ask you to pick up the ball and move on to the next hole because you're taking too long.
You went over par.
None of the scenes were, like, dragging. It was just every scene was kind of blah. Like, you know, the pool scene was really long. It was like 15, 20 minutes of, like, guys hitting on girls and then the poop thing, which was, like, the least funny in the universe. Maybe so I've heard of that scene before, or I guess.
Have you experienced it?
No.
I don't think I would have fallen for it. I hate being
so you don't want me
pool.
To tell them. You don't want me to tell everybody about the time when you no.
I hate being in a public pool and you're swimming around and you're having fun, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, is that a Band-Aid?
Yep. And then you have a crushing realization of that you're swimming in a pool of everybody's filth.
It's required to shower off before you get in the pool, but not everybody does. Yeah.
What did you guys think? Would you recommend it, Austin? Haven't seen it for who knows how many times.
I saw it when I was pretty young. It was a big movie, like I said, for my aunt and uncle's family, because they were big golfers. They were part of this kind of lifestyle. I did go there one more time. I remembered I went to the pool, and it was really cool because it was one of the only times I've been to a pool that was like 20 feet deep and had a high-ass diving board like this. And you don't see those too often anymore. So that was fun. But the movie, no, it's a real slog. It's hard to get into because of the dated comedy in the like first third of the movie. There's really no heroes in it. You got Dangerfield, but he's like a rich guy, and the judge, and he's a rich guy, and you got the caddies, which it's fun to watch. They got good scenes, like the tournament, the swim scene I thought was pretty fun. I really like when he's talking to Maggie and she's telling him she's pregnant, and he's like, "Well, I'll marry you." And she's like, "Oh, he just made it worse." Like that got a good laugh out of me, or that whole conversation and interaction where she runs away from. But I don't know. It's kind of conflicting. I'm kind of on the fence because it is an enjoyable movie. There's a lot of comedic talent, but it is kind of disjointed, and it's about golf, which I couldn't care less about. And it's a lot about golf. This isn't a thing that's like framed as a sports movie, but you can get by and is funny. Like, I feel like the show The League did that, where it was about fantasy football, but it kind of had nothing to do with it. That's just what the settings did. Or, I don't know, what is the Water Boy kind of does that, but that's way about football. We'll get to that. I'll
Yeah.
shout out another okay Adam Sandler movie that I don't mind watching again, because we will get to it.
That one's going to come up pretty soon.
This one feels like a 50-50 mix. Like, if you like golf at all, or if you want to watch a hard, like, late 70s comedy, like, it's a timepiece for sure. Everybody's got a mustache. Everybody's wearing the tiniest shorts and midriff shirts you've ever seen. But it's just a very small slice of, like, super rich white culture at the golf club, or the country club, so nah. Nah. Justin?
Overall, I'd say no. It was kind of hard to watch this time. There were some really there were characters in it that I liked, and there were moments in it that I liked, but overall, not really.
Huh. I'm surprised. I'm taken back, even. I did not. This would be a triple thumbs down.
A classic triple thumbs down
Albeit hesitant thumbs down, but huh.
on Have You Seen? It's one of the first times I think we've covered one of these classics, other than Adventures in Babysitting. Remember that one was real eye-opening? We were all like, "Oh, we're gonna love this," and by the end, everybody was like, "This might have been a mistake."
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's like was funny when I was 12. You know what I mean?
And I do appreciate some of the improvisation, just some of it doesn't work.
Yeah, like I said, there were parts of this movie that I really like.
The original cut was slated to be 4.5 hours.
Oh my
Oh,
God.
God.
Oh my God.
How many scenes of people playing golf did they cut out?
Oh, it
Jeez.
was in real time, every golf game. No.
Right. I know you're lying
Jeez.
because that's like 16 hours.
Bill Murray's ball cleaning speech, where he's like cleaning the balls in the
Nah,
beginning,
it's not good.
his introduction scene where he's like perving on the ladies.
Yeah, I was
It
just
the
like,
original
ugh.
cut of that was a 30-minute scene.
Oh my God, of course it
Wow. And
was.
it was super artsy, where it like started in and it looked like he was jerking off, and then it panned out slowly over the course of 30 minutes with him rambling on being a perv.
Ugh.
Yeah, they had to bring in
Yeah, I'm glad that
another
they
editor.
realized that we got that joke in 2 minutes.
Didn't take a half hour to get that.
Even 2 minutes is too long. I get it right away.
But it was filmed kind of as a series of vignettes, and it was based on Harold Ramis, the director's real life experience as working at a as a caddy in the summers.
He's like, I leered at those women.
No, 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 a caddy, not a groundskeeper. But sure, I'm sure he did. Him and one of the writers both worked. This was a pretty common job for upper middle class kids in the in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, for sure.
Caddies at golf clubs because the richest of the rich work there.
Yeah, you get tipped like crazy.
Hopefully, yeah. And that probably paid for you to go to college.
Yep.
And be a film writer, director, person.
Mm-hmm. That's how it worked.
All right. If you want to listen to any of the other episodes we've mentioned tonight or any of our other podcasts, you can find them at podcasts.com. or the Apple Podcast app. You can find us under Fap Check, Have You Seen, Amazeballs, and What About Wrestling. Our other channel, Pit Friends, is just getting started, where we're going to cover tabletop role-playing, D&D, RPG kind of stuff, all in that realm. Gaming, I guess, is the term.
Yeah.
Oh, have you guys seen... Do.